the Zero Problems with Neighbors was abandoned, propagating the anti-Assad alliance, would dislodge the Ba'ath Party from power in Damascus, and a loyal to Ankara Muslim Brotherhood government would be a replacement. Turkey's support for the opposition in Syria and the Muslim Brotherhood factions in particular strained its relationship with a couple of neighbors. Ankara was one of the most vocal supporters of President Mohamed Morsi and strongly opposed his ouster in July 2013. It led to a tense relationship with the ruling military in Cairo. However, after the anti-Assad alliance flattered in its effort to topple the Syrian government, infighting within different militant groups left the Muslim Brotherhood brigades crippled. Ahmed Davutoğlu was once again called upon to revive his zero problems with neighbors doctrine. However, the damage done by Ankara's involvement in the war on the Syrian government will take more than diplomatic talks to mend. Further discussing Turkey's role in Syria is Mr. Ali Ornik, a journalist. Why did Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his party take such a firm stance against Syria despite the strong relations they had once? And recently we heard Erdogan saying that now they are at a stage of war against Syria. What are your comments here?
During the peaceful period between Turkey and Syria, Turkey had aims to be a regional leader, the leader of the region. And they try to convince Syria to be part of their regional hegemony. But Syria didn't convince that role because this role includes standing away from Hezbollah, standing away from resistance axis. Recently, Erdogan said that they are in a stage of war with Syria. The recent polls showing that 70% of the Turkish society is against Erdogan's policies regarding Syria.
Is it because they're scared of maybe the spillover that might take place?
Yes, precisely. There were two armed attacks in Turkey carried out by militants from Syria. In Istanbul also, the clashes, there were clashes between armed groups and Turkish police force. So Turkish people have, I think, fear of turning into another Pakistan, especially those living in border towns. They are mostly Alawite, Arab Alawis, and they are strongly supporting Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. And they said, okay, we are the next target right now.
Do you think Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan is trying to carry maybe this hidden agenda to place the Muslim Brotherhood here in the region?
Turkey is wanting to topple Assad while they want also Muslim Brotherhood in power. If Muslim Brotherhood takes the charge in Syria, they will do whatever Erdogan wants in the region.
So then what do you say about Turkey's deteriorating relationship with Egypt after the ouster of Morsi?
This is, I think, partly related with Syria. Turkey's regional policy depends on Muslim Brotherhood in the region. When Morsi was toppled by the coup in July, Erdogan used very harsh words against new Sisi-dominated interim government. Okay, let's finish that.
And what else do you have to say, maybe final words here, about Turkey's intervention in Syria? I mean, how long are we going to see this intervention take place, perhaps?
Turkey is destroying Syria, and they said this, they are doing this on behalf of Syrian people. The recent attack on Kasab, it is carried out from Turkish border, you know? Turkey opens the border to all Takfir groups to attack Kasab, and they destroyed the whole town. This is a very sad thing to see.
What was the reason, actually, then, behind the attack on Kasab?
I think Turkey tries to say to the United States that I'm still in Syria. I have my own vision. I have my own agenda. The result is millions of refugees, destroyed towns. I think Assad and his ally Hezbollah is now more stronger than has ever been.
I'm I'm standing at Ghazi Park, where protests initially erupted. What started as demonstrations against the destruction of this park turned into protests against AKP's abuse of power. Today, protesting here is completely forbidden. Our third file has all the details. As chances of an outcome favorable to Ankara diminished in Syria, Recep Tayyip Erdogan's failed war gamble backfired at home. In May of 2013, the grumblings against the AKP rule in Turkey exploded on the streets of Istanbul. What started as sit-ins against the destruction of Gezi Park near the central square of Taksim turned into nationwide protests against the AKP's abuse of power. Erdogan's government have been showing signs of authoritarianism by clamping down on dissents. Journalists were jailed in record numbers under Erdogan's rule. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, Turkey was the country with the most jailed journalists in the world in 2012, and again in 2013. The AKP has also been consolidating its supremacy over the military. According to Brookings Institute, in 2012, half of all Turkish admirals and one out of 10 active duty generals were in jail for plotting against the government. While the initial wave of protests was quelled by Turkish police, opposition to the AKP grew bolder and became more visible. Protests erupted again in September and October of 2013 against road construction through the green area of the Middle Eastern Technical University. However, it was a corruption scandal that broke in December of 2013 that presented the biggest threat to Erdogan's political career. The scandal initially implicated family members of a number of ministers in Recep Tayyip Erdogan's cabinet, in addition to mayors and other officials from his party. Erdogan accused former ally Fethullah Gulen of being behind the scandal. Gulen, who resides in the United States and leads the Hizmet movement, has a powerful network of schools and institutions across Turkey. But Erdogan's corruption scandal did not stop at AKP members. In February 2014, some tapes leaked out that allegedly included the voice of Erdogan himself, instructing his son Bilal to get rid of millions of euros stowed away in the latter's home. Could this be the end of Erdogan and the AKP's 11-year stranglehold on Turkish government? Joining me to discuss internal troubles in Turkey is Dr. John Emirtan, a historian and journalist. Dr. John, I want to begin with discussing Turkey's internal policies. I mean, it's really been quoted by many as a complete mess. What are your comments here?
Well, at the moment, it really is a complete mess. Last year's Gezi protests, for the first time in more than a decade, uncovered really very wide, deep-spread dissatisfaction with the local government. It's not that the dissatisfaction wasn't there previously, but until the Gezi protests, opposition voices really had no opportunity to speak out. So and the Gezi protests functioned as a lightning rod, attracting all kinds of opposition, all kinds of dissatisfaction with the way the government has been run for the past decade. And now, with the corruption scandal which emerged on the 17th of December, the whole thing has come out in the open, and it's like, to quote your own word, it's a real mess.
Well, Dr. Can, you did know a few times about the corruption scandal, but Erdogan has reiterated a few times that he has been innocent. What are your comments here?
Well, Turkish politics have always been marred in sleaze and corruption. Traditional Turkish parties, I mean, corruption was just a byword for politics in Turkey. every politician in Turkey was very busy to build up his own dynasty, her own dynasty, to have money and income for him or herself and their offspring, their family. The AKP was seen as a departure from that tradition, as a party not mired in corruption, no connection with sleeves whatsoever. But now that these tapes have emerged on the 17th of December, all these allegations, it has become clear that the AKP is not really a different party. It's just another Turkish political party marred in sleaze and corruption.
Dr. Can, we see multiple protests take place in Turkey. Taksim Square, this park we're sitting in right now in Kadıköy. They started off when citizens demonstrated over the destruction of Gezi Park, but it turned into something much wider. Please give us your comments here.
The protests, which began last year, started out in reaction to the destruction of Gezi Park, which was part of a wider government drive to encourage construction all over the country. And this construction goes hand in hand with the destruction of nature. And that was the initial impetus of the protests. But these protests quickly changed into something else. Everybody with a grudge against the government tagged on to the protest and made it his or her own protest against the government. And the current corruption allegations are actually very much part of those protests, of those issues, because the government's encouragement of building and construction is one of the areas which are very much part and parcel of these corruption allegations. Certain contractors, certain building companies have very close ties to the government, and they have given the government kickbacks and received favorable treatment in return. In other words, it all goes hand in hand. And the protests that are now taking place are really a continuation of last year's protests.
Dr. Can, what do you have to say about the future here when it comes down to Erdogan and the AKP? I mean, how optimistic are you?
I think for them to disappear like that just in one day, I think that would be unrealistic. I think their substructure has been so much established throughout the country, and the power base is here and is really widespread. I think for them to disappear like that overnight, I don't think that's going to happen. So they will continue.
Turkey's ambitions in taking a leading role in the Middle East have faded away. Turkey's failures, whether it being on the domestic, regional, or even the international scale, have left many unanswered questions as to what's next for Turkey's future. Questions such as what's next for Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his party? And what kind of legacy will this government, who had messy internal and external policies, leave behind? Thank you so much for watching this episode of Middle East Files. Until next time, goodbye.